History has seen a number of corporate heavyweights do their part to try to revitalize Detroit. One of many examples, Henry Ford II. He powered the Renaissance Center from blueprints to skyscrapers towering over the riverfront. But there are two names that stand well above the others, the names of Illich and Gilbert. Detroit Free Press business writer John Gallagher explored the impact of Mike Illich and his family and of Dan Gilbert in a recent front page story entitled One Downtown, Two Empires. Welcome back to Stateside, John.
Well, thank you very much.
And someone with a very keen sense of Detroit's history is here with us. John Moak is a law professor at Wayne State University, where he teaches courses on property, energy, land use, and urban development. Professor Moak, good to have you with us.
Well, thanks. Good to be here.
John Gallagher, as you were researching and writing this big front page piece, what was it about the Illiches and Dan Gilbert that most struck you?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, there's been other corporate chieftains who have done a lot in Detroit, you know, Peter Stroh and Pete Karmanos and Al Taubman and Max Fisher and Henry Ford II and, you know, Roger Penske. But Dan Gilbert and the Illich family, between them, are not just doing, you know, individual projects or two or three projects, but almost entire districts. You know, Dan Gilbert now owns or controls several dozen buildings in the greater downtown, including, you know, a good number of the classic skyscrapers. And the Illich family, of course, with their plans for the Arena District, are going to redevelop, hope to redevelop, plan to redevelop this entire district of several dozen blocks. So you have almost the downtown has become Gilbertville, and the area just north of downtown in the Fox Theater District and to the north is on its way to becoming, you know, Illichville. So the fact that you have these entire districts each covering either dozens of square blocks or dozens of buildings really struck us as something that's worth exploring.
John Moak, tell us, how does the impact of Dan Gilbert and of the Illiches, how does that measure up to the way that tycoons and moguls have helped shape other American cities? Where do they stand?
Well, they have the potential of having an impact in the future that might be somewhat comparable. To me, I have not seen any other two major civic leaders, corporate leaders, accumulate as large a percentage of land, have a significant amount of holdings in a major urban center as have Dan Gilbert and the Illich organization. I think Dan Gilbert has been reported to have control of as many as 60 buildings downtown with an estimated 9 million square feet. That represents a very large, a very substantial percentage of the occupiable standard buildings in the core, central core of the city. But frequently, there's a comparison made to Pittsburgh and to the Carnegie Mellon engagement there, and they had very great impact. And in case of Andrew Carnegie, his industrial development not only impacted the center of town, but the town as a whole, since he provided an economic base for the entire city. That is not the case currently with the Illich and Gilbert holdings. They're having significant effect on the downtown area and the midtown area, but the ripple effect has yet to grow and spread out into the rest of the city, which is 140 square miles in size and is really struggling to maintain stability.
And that's what I wondered is, as you looked at this big picture for your piece for the Free Press, John Gallagher, how much of what's happening in that downtown area because of Dan Gilbert of the Illiches, how much is that really impacting people in the neighborhoods of Detroit? I guess, in other words, can predominantly black residents in struggling Detroit neighborhoods, are they benefiting from what two white billionaires are doing downtown?
Yeah, well, great question. And John Moak is absolutely right that so far we haven't seen it ripple out much beyond the immediate downtown. Corktown is getting some of these new people who are moving downtown to work in, you know, in Gilbert's buildings. The North End near Woodward, north of New Center, is getting some spinoff benefit. Places like West Village are getting some spinoff. But by and large, it's still confined to sort of the greater downtown, although it's still pretty early in the game. And Gilbert only moved his company downtown about 4 years ago. And, of course, the Illiches have been here for longer. But this Arena District is still entirely on the drawing boards. Nothing's, you know, they haven't broken ground on it yet. So it's a bit early. But, you know, the question of what good does a strong downtown do for the rest of the city, I mean, that's debated here and elsewhere, and I think it's a really important question.
I'd like the thoughts of both of you. These are indeed civic-minded business people, but they are not in it for charity and warm, fuzzy feelings. These are billionaires keeping a real close eye on their bottom lines. Are they using their wealth to help the city of Detroit, or are they using the city of Detroit to ultimately help their wealth? Professor, your thoughts.
Well, clearly, a revitalized downtown is of great benefit to the city. The only question is, to what degree will it that those benefits be spread throughout the city? But certainly, you would want a revitalized downtown to begin to make progress in rebuilding the neighborhoods, and a revitalized downtown will begin to attract investment from outside the city, will begin to attract businesses to consider moving into the city, and so it certainly is a place to start. I think Dan Gilbert himself has said that he's hopes to do well by doing good, and so far it appears that that's the approach and that's the effect that's taking place. He's been buying buildings for less than $30 a square foot. Now, what that would tell you is that there aren't other people who are interested in taking those buildings over and putting them back into productive use if he could buy buildings at that low a price. And so putting those buildings into use, creating jobs in rehabbing the buildings and creating space for new businesses to move in and for him to move his company staffing into the buildings is a very positive thing. And it would seem to me that at this point, all indications are that what Dan Gilbert is doing, and if the Illich project is able to be successful, what the Illiches are doing will be of benefit to the city. And the only question is, to what degree will it impact the overall health of the city as a whole?
And John Gallagher, you noted in your piece for the Free Press that Dan Gilbert's developments tend to not involve taxpayer subsidies, but certainly the same cannot be said of Illich projects.
Right. So far, Dan Gilbert's mostly buying property on his own. He's gotten a few benefits or subsidies on some things from the city, but he's mostly doing it on his own, and the Illich family, like most development in Detroit, I mean, let's be fair, has gotten pretty significant, you know, subsidies or incentives, or they've used alternative financing. And typically, almost any project done in and around downtown the last 25 years has had as much as 50% or more of their financing coming from either some sort of tax break or some kind of, you know, historic tax credit or some kind of subsidized loan fund or something. I mean, some kind of non-traditional financing. So the Illiches are certainly in that realm, but, you know, almost everybody else is too.
We've seen Mike Illich in the last couple of years at Tiger Games, broadcast of ceremonies at Tiger Games, and it's certainly clear he is moving well into his 80s, and he's not going to be doing this forever. Is the family carrying on the tradition from what you can see?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, their son, Christopher Illich, has been CEO now for the past several years, and, you know, it's seamless. It's a family business. You know, they will certainly carry on when Mike is no longer able to. And, of course, I think Mike's going to go on until he wins the World Series, at least, which we were hoping was this year. But I think you'll expect to see the Illiches be major players here for many, many, many years to come.
Professor Moak, ultimately, what do you believe will be the ultimate legacy of the Illiches and Dan Gilbert?
Oh, I think they'll be viewed as being major contributors to the revitalization of downtown and the Midtown area. And hopefully their legacy will also include effects that those projects will have had on the economy of the city as a whole. That remains to be seen, however.
And your thoughts, John Gallagher?
Well, I think that in the ideal world, you'd probably want to have a whole bunch of people redeveloping the city and not just, you know, two individuals. And, of course, there are many other people redeveloping it. It's just that the contributions from the Illiches and Dan Gilbert are just so overwhelming that they sort of dominate the scene right now. But I think that I certainly think if they carry out all the plans that they've talked about, as John said, it will be viewed as very positive for the city in the long run.
Detroit Free Press business writer John Gallagher recently profiled Dan Gilbert and the Illiches for a front-page story in the Detroit Free Press. And John Moak is a law professor at Wayne State University, where he focuses on, among many areas, property, land use, and urban development. Thanks to you both for speaking with us today.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.